How you doing, folks? Grant Edwards here from Liberty NZ, and that was a great show we had just before. Take three, it was. Part three, I suppose. The first part, nothing much happened. Part two, yeah, that's right, I went 38 minutes in part one, and no one could hear me. So a bit of a problem there. Then we had two, three, and now four, because we're right in the middle of a very interesting little chat we're having with John Squire and... And who else we got? Oh, there's Owen. You need to give me a call. Repent and Believe is back. Hang on a sec. G'day, John. Can you hear me? I went back live again. Did you want to come back in? Yeah. Okay. Okay, great. Yep. So that was John. He's going to come right back. So, g'day, Ange. How about you pop in, and Ange, and I'll make you speaker. Ellie, rather, I should say. And Ange, yeah, why don't you come in and talk to me? You've never talked before. And who else is there? Jesus Preacher, there you go. Crunch in there. Peter Smith, Peter's back. And, yeah, there's Peter. Hello, g'day, Peter. Peter's back.
Hello, John. Looking for John.
John, oh, John, yes. Yes, Grant here. That was good, wasn't it, from John
Squire, yeah.
My friend John from the Open Brethren.
Yep.
I was really enjoying that.
Squire will come back. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm hoping he will.
Oh, no, the show ended.
Yeah.
I hope he will. Yeah.
Well, if you chat for a bit, I'll give him a call on another line. How's that?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to encourage my brother John Squire to not allow the pressure in the fellowship, the divisions that are happening because of the jabs, to force him to leave, to stay in there and stick with it and be an influence to the people there. And so truth is knowable, and it's a struggle to bring even ourselves to understand what truth is sometimes. And but these jab truths need to be completely exposed, and John's already on great understandings regarding that. So, Peter, you there? You want to chat?
Yep.
How are you, brother? So
good.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey, Peter.
Howdy.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine.
Was that music?
No, I'm 100%. What you're saying, I back you, and yeah, for anyone really keen to sort of find out who they are and who what they stand for in life, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I hope John Squire will go back. You know,
he's coming back.
Men's meeting. Yeah,
said he would.
No, mm-hmm. That's good. So I meant
I'll go back to the men's meeting.
Men's meeting, yeah, because so important to stick with it and to even it's not comfortable for sure. It's not comfortable going to these men's meetings. It's not comfortable. Like I have I don't know if you saw the video or not, brother. We went to the local county board of education meeting. It did not go very well.
And, but he's talking about church men's meeting.
I understood that.
Group.
But what?
Yeah.
Whatever type of meeting it is, whether it's a board meeting, a school board meeting, or a men's meeting with the church, that we should keep sticking in there and being salt and light in that situation. And he sounds like he already has a lot of great arguments. And did I understand?
Yeah, he's pretty healthcare? Knowledgeable.
He's in the healthcare industry.
No. I can't really say what he's in.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. So, but, what is his background? He certainly knows quite a bit. So, he's well armed with the truth.
Yeah, and he's quite good in the scriptures too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like you, and brother John.
Well, I mean, that's our call. Our call is to study to show ourselves approved unto God first, and then unto
our
fellow
weapon.
Man. It's our weapon. That's right.
Our offensive weapon. Yeah.
Ephesians 6, we have a shield of faith. We have a belt of truth. Oh, that's good. And that belt holds the sword of the Lord, which is his word. And by it, we can lay asunder many false doctrines and false teachers and bring the people to good understanding. You know, God says, my people perish. Say again, brother?
that's better than any mask.
Yeah, we don't need them. It's not on, that's not on the armor. Yeah. Hey, that's what we should say. Look, I've got my helmet of salvation. I've got my sword of the spirit. I've got my breastplate. Doesn't see anywhere about a mask. Sorry, buddy. Right.
Nothing about a
we're
jab.
Sorry, buddy. Through.
Right. That's right.
Well, they have, again, there's no law stating that there's a mandate for masks.
Is that right?
It's all fair. Yep.
Is this all smoke and mirrors?
Because all you have to say is, I'm exempt, and they can't check your personal details. Like, that's your Privacy Act. Like, all of these things are in your human rights, in the Bill of Human Rights. Like,
hey, Peter, it didn't work for me.
And true. Like, this is the thing. At what point do rights get overthrown? Because what I know is that rights are rights. You know, you don't lose them.
Yeah, that's right. If you could lose them, they're not rights.
Yeah.
Well, when you weaponize the average citizen against another citizen, that's where your rights get trampled. When they fooled half the citizens have been fooled into this dichotomy of a jab or no job, and they're willing to sacrifice their body for it, and then they become weapons of the system. You know, it's kind of like
to this guy. Hey, carry on. It's kind of like what? Sorry, John.
No, it's fine. I was saying that it's kind of like when the corporations or the businesses are used by the government as tax collectors.
Yeah.
That's not their job. That's the government's job. And you should pay a tax collector to do his job. But, of course, the tax collector would be hated like Matthew was hated in the Bible. But so when the common citizen becomes the enforcement agent of the government, either by snitchery, right, daubing on somebody else, or that they actually say, get out of my store. But they're not police. They're not trained in how to interact with the public regarding their civil rights or regarding whether or not they have a right to come in and get some paint from the hardware store, for crying out loud. So that
listen to this.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm in public area now. Sorry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You got a mask on.
No, I'm not wearing a mask.
You should be wearing a mask.
Why aren't you wearing one?
Hey?
Why aren't you wearing one? Why aren't you wearing a mask? Why aren't you wearing a mask? Why aren't you wearing a mask?
That was the owner of the store. That was a big paint shop here in Whangarei. He comes out and says, where's your mask? He's maskless.
You can't see it, eh? They can't see it.
No.
It's smoke and mirrors.
I couldn't believe it. It was a classic. I thought, this is going to go viral. I better put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I think I did. I put it on NZ Street Preachers. Hey, are you familiar with that, Peter?
No.
I'll put it in the link.
To that too.
Yeah, I'll put a link in there. And also, I'll give you, in fact, when we publish this one, I'll put Jesus Preacher. Make sure it's JesusPreacherSingular.com. That's John. That's John's website.
Like the way I see it is that our freedoms were fought and died for. Like it's not really ours to give away, eh? It's ours to protect. Mm. But I'd say we can't really give it away.
No.
Not that this easy anyway.
Yeah. That's right. And we owe it to our parents and grandfathers that fought.
Yeah, to not lose what they've fought for. You're right, John, about the snitchery going on too. Like this is what happened in Soviet Russia too. Like, exactly, they just pinned everyone against the class, and like at the end of it, the farmers were the prisoners, and the actual prisoners were the guards, and that's where they stood. Hello.
I'm here, brother. I just didn't want to talk too much. No. I was just trying to carefully listen.
Yeah, like it's the same thing. I think someone said it at the start of the podcast. Like it's evil's or good is evil and evil is good, or you know, it's sort of like what George Orwell was getting at too. Like it's just control the information, and that's all you need. Like, people will do anything. They will do the dirty work.
Yeah. I mean, that's why ideology is so important, and why we share, you know, our Christian ideas with people. And that light will expose them. And there's a Bible verse about, you know, zeal without knowledge. You know, when I was first a Christian, I was a zealot to share my faith, but I didn't understand how, you know. Yeah. And the Bible says the law is perfect, converting the soul. I think that's Psalm 9:17. Galatians 3:24, I think, says the law is a tutor to bring us to Christ. So we're not saved by the law, but the law leads us to the Savior because it shows us our guilt. But I'm sure your culture is like ours, that nobody wants to be guilty of anything. Nobody wants to be responsible or have any admission they did something wrong. But that's exactly what we have to do with God first in order to get a reality check about ourselves. And from that cleansing of our heart, now we can go help people understand through the law and through what Jesus did for us on the cross to help them be clean. Otherwise, they're just children of the devil, and they're always going to be up to this nonsense, and you know, we're fighting a losing battle, so to speak.
No, for sure, for sure.
Hi, Gerald. I'm sorry, Peter, go ahead.
No, I was sort of had to think this time of night, hey?
It's early morning for me. The sun is arising.
Sun is arising.
Yeah. And it's getting kind of cold here. You know, now that the sun's headed. Yeah, now the sun is heading towards NZ. It's getting a little chilly here.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
I've got John Squire on the phone. He's
great.
All he can see is take three instead of take four. So we're more draconian mandates for New Zealand take four, and he can't see it. So he's got to try and refresh somehow. He's on a phone trying to figure it out.
He can refresh by the upper right button, I think.
Upper right button, try that.
No, that's not it.
That's that left button, the one at the bottom, and then you just close the whole program down and open up again. It should say take four. Oh, no, it's funny. Oh, I know. Hang on, I'll mute myself, John, and I'll talk to John Squire.
Okay. Yeah, me and Peter continue. Yeah, go ahead, Peter. Yeah, sorry.
Do you think, like, in the millennial reign, you sort of know about that, hey?
What do I think about the millennial reign?
Yeah. What do you think Earth will look like then? Like, because that's sort of what we should be aiming for, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? Well, we know that the millennial reign, that Jesus will rule with a rod of iron, and that scepter of iron, righteous ruling from the holy city, Jerusalem. We see passage in the Bible where the new city comes out of heaven, and it's over 1,300 miles cubed. So this is 1,300 miles cubed. This new city, it'll have foundations of precious jewels. There'll be streets of gold. There'll be trees, the healing of the nations. There'll be the living water will flow off his throne down through the middle of the street of the city. Jesus is going to prepare a mansion for us that the saints of God will inhabit during that era, during that epoch. But then that will come to an end. And then the eternal king, you know, the eternal kingdom will be established, where this is after the great white throne judgment. And so
they have another, go ahead. Would the devil have one last uprising after that? Is still right. Convincing people that after all of that, like, people will still see all of this,
right?
The people that are around.
Isn't that astounding?
Yeah, that's the part that got me. Is like, how can that's in Jesus too. Like, people seeing Jesus, his own disciples couldn't get wrap their head around the fact that he was telling them that he was going to die. He died and resurrected anyway, and then they were still amazed. But he's like, I've been telling you this.
I told you this before, right?
Yeah.
He actually upbraids his disciples, which is a very severe correction, upbraiding. And so he, on the road to Emmaus, he upbraids his disciples. Didn't I tell you these things beforehand? Anyway, so to go back to the millennial kingdom, sorry, I got sidetracked there. We see nations that do not come and worship him as he requires on the Sabbath. I don't know how they do that. Not sure about that part of it, but because the Bible doesn't really address it, but it says that he's angry with them and that he causes famines and pestilences to come upon those nations, or people groups is one way to say nations. You think of nations, we think of Australia, New Zealand, America, but nations also means people groups, tribes.
Yeah.
So these people groups that will not come in and worship him on the Sabbath as he requires in the millennial kingdom, they'll be punished. So there's sin during that era as well, during that epoch as well. And then after that, at the end of that, Satan is released again. And I've always had the same question, brother. 25 years I've been a Christian. I've asked, Lord, well, why? I mean, why? You come down, you show yourself in power and glory. You show that you're a good king. And then you allow this rebel out of his prison again.
Yep.
And so this is the only thing that I get, I believe, from the Lord, is that I want to show the people it's their responsibility. I don't know if you remember who Flip Wilson was, an American comedian, but he always used to say, the devil made me do it, right? He had this little skit that he would do. He always say the devil. He always shifts the blame to the devil, right? Yeah. Oh, John's back. Can you hear us, John?
No, he can't, because he needed to push this other little button and he never did. So, John, if you're listening, when you've got to click join now. That's what you're missing. I think that's what it is. So you're going into the studio, but I'm not seeing you because you're not pushing join now. Because I just did it myself with Kiwi Patriot, and I tried it. John ended call. Okay, he's coming back now. Okay, sorry. Yeah, so carry on, guys. I'm enjoying that conversation.
Well, we see it in Genesis. Kingdom. Yeah, we see it in Genesis too, when the serpent took Eve to eating the apple, and then what did he say? It was, oh, my wife, she ate the apple, so he gave it to me. Oh no, actually, he says the woman you made.
Yeah, the woman he blamed God.
That's right.
God.
So
the woman you gave me.
Human instinct, hey.
Yeah,
it's human instinct to find something to blame it on.
Absolutely.
But that's part of that sin too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John's back.
Yeah.
What was John talking about before we all got cut off?
Can you hear me again?
Yeah. Yes. Praise God.
You can hear me. Praise the Lord.
You haven't got your headphones on though.
Yes, I do.
Well, you do, all right.
I just need to plug them in a bit better.
No,
I might try this on my computer next time, a laptop.
My apologies.
It's different on the cell phone. I can recommend a book to you, and it's by Dr. Chuck Missler. I was a personal friend of him. He ended up leaving the States, and he was a very highly recognized man. He worked under three presidents. He actually was part of the Defense Department. And he moved to New Zealand thinking that he was doing a good thing, established a base down here like La Brie. People might know what La Brie is, but I could tell them another time. It was a basically a retreat for people to come and study the Word of God. But he was a very influential man, and he wrote a book called The Kingdom, Power and Glory. It was all about accountability and how one of his main writings was on the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. Now, if we look in Scripture, we see that the promise given to Mary was for her son to reign on the throne of King David. And the thing with this is, has that happened? The moment that we realize that Jesus is returning as a king to reign in Jerusalem. If anyone out there has been to Jerusalem, they'll see something on the streets of Jerusalem, on the rubbish bins, on the flag, on the park benches, lions. Now compare this to Rome, and we see SPQR on the same items. It's interesting that the lion would be the prime symbol of Jerusalem, and why wouldn't it be? It's the city of the great king. Now, why do I say all this? Because if your perspective changes when you realize that we're going to see Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one, reigning in Jerusalem, and we will reign with him if indeed we are overcomers. Now, the point of Chuck's book was to point out that Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Now, why is he bound? Well, you said it all, John. You said, not me, John. You said that the saying is, the devil made me do it. Well, that's the number one saying amongst murderers. They don't believe in God, but they somehow believe in Satan. And the thing with this, bound for 1,000 years, man will have to accept their own sin. Instead of understanding, the Lord says in 1 Peter, he says via Peter, he says, the Lord wishes no man to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's Adam saying, the woman you gave me made me do this. No, it's I did that, Lord. I accept responsibility for my actions. That's the number one thing the Lord wants us to do. What does he say? Confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, I think it is. And he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It is possible to live a righteous life. In fact, he says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That's what I pray daily for the nation of New Zealand, indeed the world, and for my country. Originally is the United States. That's where my relatives come from, so I'm very patriotic towards America. So in God we trust, indeed we should. And better get used to bowing, because we're all going to confess that Jesus is the Lord. So, yeah.
Amen, Brother Will said.
Yeah. I don't mince words. I like people to be passionate about the Lord. And when I preach, I don't tell them, I say, you won't hear this in church. We've got to get real. Yep. Jesus, I tell people, should be as real as someone standing in front of you, you know. If he's not, there's something wrong. Yeah. But I find the church most distracted. They're not equipping people for the ministry. And boy, is there going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth when the Lord returns. We forget that. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Like the Ephesian church in Revelation, Jesus had about 30 churches he could have written to, but he wrote to 7. And he's very specific. You're too busy on the business of the king and not the king himself. You've lost your first love. But no, I believe we are living in a beast system, which is a beautiful thing to see. Because it means that the rapture, you've got to believe in the rapture, because it says, when these things begin to happen, lift up thine heads and thine eyes, for your redemption draws nigh. And I rejoice in that. And if we're not ready for his return, it's not that we're trying to escape. It's that we, every day that he tarries is a lost opportunity, is an opportunity to achieve his eternal purposes. And we look forward to his eager return, but at the same time we are motivated by that to preach the gospel in season, out of season. And people, if they don't want to listen, we have to follow that mandate very carefully. In fact, I say to people, I want you to shake my hand. And they say, whatever. No, I'm not going to shake your hand. I said, no, you're not. You need me to love you. You want me to care about you, because no one else does. And I say to them, They say, how can you say you love me? And I say, well, God gave me a supernatural love for the lost, for the lost. And in persistence with that, people actually start to wake up and listen. And if they don't, you have to shake their hand. And they say, I don't want to shake your hand. No, because I want you to shake my hand to absolve me of the blood of your soul. That's how literal we have to be. And the sad thing about Chuck Missler in writing his book, you know, 90% of the letters of complaint that he got, he wrote this book on accountability, that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and give an account for our actions. And 90% of the letters of complaint that he received were from pastors of churches complained about accountability. Very sad.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've talked enough. Yeah. No, I do recommend his book, Kingdom, Power, and Glory.
Mm. Yeah, good stuff, John. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So what are some other characteristics, John, that you would we were talking about that earlier with Brother Peter, other characteristics that you would speak of regarding the millennial kingdom?
The millennial kingdom, the reign of Jesus, as some people would think, it's not heaven. There's a difference. It's very easy to think that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are the same thing. Well, it's funny how Matthew could, he knew shorthand as a tax collector. The most accurate gospel, in my mind, they're all accurate, but the most accurate gospel is like word for word out of the mouth of Jesus. The argument is made that the gospels are written, hundreds of years after the fact? No, the evidence is overwhelming. They are written contemporaneously. But why do I say that? It's because the temple is mentioned by Peter, Paul, Daniel, Jesus himself talk about a temple. And this is a yet future thing, but they were writing. Hebrews, for example, talks about the temple as in existence at the time of the writing, so that it must have been written at the time when Jesus, soon after Jesus had left the earth, within the lifetime of the writers of the Gospels. But why did I get onto that? Well, the millennial reign of Jesus is not a perfect time, but because the devil is bound, there is sin on the earth still. Man is we have a tendency to sin, even though it would seem it's going to be a perfect king, reign.
Not me.
No. There's still going to be sin. We're still going to have the choice. It is possible, as he says, why did Jesus tell us so many times, and the Gospels and other, go, we are to not sin. It's possible not to sin. That's the goal that we strive for. Why? But the millennial reign of Jesus is going to be imperfect, but murderers will be dealt with swiftly, because Jesus is going to be in Jerusalem. But the interesting thing about that is the promise made to Mary hasn't happened yet. Your son will reign on the throne of King David. Well, where's the throne of King David? Has it existed since the time of David? Well, no, it's not existing. At the time that it was promised to Mary, it didn't exist. It's a future promise. And I know Christians who say, oh, when it says that the governance will be upon his shoulders, they think that he's ruler of your life. No, that's an allegory. The literalism that we should take Scripture to be is that it's a future thing, that he's going to rule the world with an iron rod. That's swift justice for murderers. Mm-hmm. However, at the end of the millennial reign of Jesus, the devil is loosed. And why is he loosed? Because he's kept them there for 1,000 years to finally test man. The Bible says that God tests the hearts of his followers. And he did this to the people of Israel. He even left nations that they were told to wipe out. He deliberately left them there to test the hearts of the people of Israel. And he does it to his followers today. I'm convinced of it. But at the end of that reign, end of that millennial time, the devil is loosed, and man will make that final choice, and there will be a war between the saints and between those that have chosen. But what they don't realize is this. You know, people that die, and then after the 1,000 years, we have the great white throne judgment. Now, that's the second death. But we're not subject to the second death. But what people don't realize is God is the potter. We're the clay. We can't say to the potter, you didn't make me. He could stamp us out at any time if he wanted to, but he doesn't because he loves us. And the thing is, there is going to be a reckoning and an accounting, and the people at the White Throne Judgment are raised from the dead. Those people that have died during the millennial reign. There is death during the millennial reign. Funeral directors are still going to be useful. So we see this. The reckoning comes at the great white throne judgment. I don't believe a true follower of the Lord will be there. Our judgment is as soon as we're taken up by the Lord. Now, people don't believe in the rapture. Well, I say, do your homework, because the rapture is most definitely there. It's the only thing that makes sense, because if the Holy Spirit lives in us, he resides, we're his temples. He's not going to leave his dwelling place on earth. He's going to take them to be where he is, as promised in John 14, verses 1 to 3. That's a picture of the Jewish wedding. And the Jewish, Jesus is Jewish. Jesus is Jewish. Why should we think anything else? So,
Brother John.
And it says that people are mocked for being, I can't remember what the scripture is. I think it's Isaiah, but it says that people are mocked for living to 100. We're capable of living 1,000 years, but I believe that the born-again believer who's been raptured comes back to earth. It says in Jude that he brings 10,000s of the saints. Now, in Judaism, 10,000s means a multitude, countless. So we come back and we witness the destruction of the Antichrist, so on and so forth, and the restoration of the world during the millennial reign of Jesus. We reign with him and we don't die, but there will be death on the earth, which is an amazing thing. Anyway, Brother John, you're about to say something. I get carried away.
Well, you're fine, brother. That's great. I really,
it's very interesting.
We're all enjoying listening to you, but I wanted to ask you about the timing of the rapture, according to your understanding, please.
I believe.
Can I just say you got a lot of likes?
Yes.
I gave you one. And so you got a few likes then when you were talking. This guy, Ellie said, this guy's awesome to listen to.
Yeah. Well, I've been, Grant, you're a conduit of, I've been seeking the Lord's will as to how I can get onto the air because.
Well, you're on. You're on, mate.
I know. This is the first time I've ever been live on. No, it's not actually. Yeah. I called in once. You know, someone was talking about Roswell. Now, I believe that aliens are demonic entities. They're interdimensional travelers. They're not from another planet. And they're very much active in the world today. And why shouldn't they be? Do we believe that Jesus was supernatural? Did he walk on water? Did he raise the dead? Did he make a donkey talk? Or didn't he? So these are supernatural entities. And I had the opportunity to speak on a radio station about Roswell. And I said to them, why do you think that Roswell is not a true event? And, that's not for today. That's not for today. It is for today because we have to understand that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Mm. I find it very interesting when you look at the passage which talks about the days of Lot and the days of Noah. There's only one key difference in what Jesus said, and it's fascinating. And I might be offending some people, but I'm not politically correct, so I'm just going to say it. Was there gay marriage in Sodom? No, there wasn't. If you look at what Jesus said, men were given in marriage during the time of Noah, and they ate and drank together, and they were given in marriage. Well, the very next verses, I believe it's Matthew, says that they ate and drank. It does not say anything about marriage. Now, virtually the same, but why the difference? Why the difference? There was no homosexual marriage in Sodom and Gomorrah. Very interesting, just unique little insights to these things. And as for climate change, let me share this. Every Christian should read their Bible and understand that Genesis 8, 21, 22 categorically says that God preserves his earth. It says that as long as there's summer and winter, springtime, harvest, night and day, cold and hot, that the earth will remain. And why shouldn't it? He's in charge of every event that we are seeing right now. And it says in, if anyone doubts this, let's go to the New Testament and see what Peter says. He says in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, and 7 to 9, he talks about 1,000 days. Is like a 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's changed? Nothing. And it says this, fascinating. It says the same word that caused the flood of Noah preserves the earth until the day of judgment by fire. So what part of God preserving his creation until the judgment day don't we understand? Christians should be looking after the earth, yes. They shouldn't be getting distracted by climate alarmists. They should just be concentrating on following the mandate that the Lord gave them. And it's to preach the gospel in season and out of season, because I believe salvation is threefold. Firstly, you're saved. Why were you saved? Well, that's your passport to heaven. Justification. That's freedom from the penalty of sin, which is death. So the Lord says, why should I let you in here? Because of the nail scars on your hands and feet. And that's the amazing thing about that. It's the only man-made thing in heaven. It's going to be those very scars. It says, I saw the Lamb as one slain from the foundation of the world. And that's John. John wrote that, and he was Jesus' best friend. It's fascinating to see this. But we have anyone says that this exists Martians, well, they need to read their Bible, because it says that Jesus, as a man, sits on the throne of his Father, not a Martian. It's clear and simple. And we have three things. Salvation, I tell people, what do you save from? A bus crash? No. A bullet? No, not necessarily. But we're saved for a reason. We have to discover what that reason is. And I say to callers, if you're going to a church that's not equipping you for your ministry, as it says in Ephesians 4, that we are to be equipped by preachers, pastors, evangelists, their job is to train, equip the saints, the everyday Christian, followers of the Lord. I don't even call myself a Christian. I say I'm a follower of Jesus, the Messiah. And he wore a prayer shawl. And followers of Jesus are supposed to follow their rabbi in Judaism. It's to eat his dust. That's how serious it is. But it's only the way I choose to do it. Everyone else has their opinion. We're all unique. But I found that very empowering to understand that Jesus wore a prayer shawl. And I'll leave this with you. Let someone else talk. If they, I have a person who came back from Israel with a prayer shawl. And I showed this person a picture of how the prayer shawl's worn. And this person started crying. And I said, what's the matter? It's only a prayer shawl. They said, that's the man. That's what I said, what do you mean that's the man? And this person said to me, that's what the man was wearing who came to get my father at his deathbed. And this person had a vision of a man wearing a prayer shawl coming to take their father. The interesting thing about this is the Bible tells us that the prayer shawl has four corners, and the four corners are called the wings of the garment. That's where we see the people sought to touch Jesus's robe the corners, the edge of his robe for healing. Did Jesus have wings? Oh, yes. Psalm 63 says that in the night watches, I meditate on my bed, and I have comfort, rest, or peace in the shadow of your wings. And the amazing thing about that is the very verse, the night of my first operation where I was feeling I was dying, and that was the memory verse on my calendar. But I was telling you about the funeral, and this person, I said to them, listen, they didn't like me because I was a funeral director and also a Christian. They had grown up they were a Navy, tough Navy man. And I said, listen, you're only going to get comfort in my eyes if you start saying the Navy Lord's Prayer for Navy men, slightly different from the Lord's Prayer as we know it. But this person, I didn't know if he took it seriously, but would you believe this? After he had died and we had had the funeral, they found a note scribbled in his writing in his wallet so it would be found. It's framed on the person's wall today, and it said this: God saw I was tired, and he came and got me. Now, if that is not a literal interpretation of Jesus wearing a prayer shawl, that he appeared and took this person to be with him, an atheist, who accepted him obviously on his deathbed. Maybe he was communion with the Lord when he was unconscious. It's a great comfort to know that the Lord will go to the nth degree to reach us, the extremes that he went to reach us. And so that you can take the Bible literally. When Jesus said that there's healing in his wings, well, the Bible says that, it's literal. Did he have physical wings? Well, no, not even the angels had wings. If you look carefully, you'll see that angels always appeared as men. I'm not talking about the cherubim and seraphim. I'm talking about the angels that manifested on the earth. They didn't have wings. Someone can correct me on that, but I have done my homework. The thing to know is that Jesus wore a prayer shawl, and the four corners of that prayer shawl are called the wings of the garment. Does he have healing in his wings? Most definitely.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Beautiful, brother.
I enjoyed listening to that.
Well, yes, please. You, anything I say, I would be irresponsible. People go to conferences, Joyce Meyer conferences, and they don't share what they learn. I couldn't even go to a Joyce Meyer conference because I believe there's a falsity in there. But I use this as a test. You can't even remember what she said. But good, strong Bible teachers, good King James-based Bible teachers, word-for-word expositional commentators, expect you to do your homework. And that means Acts 17:11, go back and see if what they're saying is true. And since I learned that, the scriptures came alive, but it was learning about the physical reign of Jesus coming back to this earth that truly motivated the mandate that we were given to preach the gospel in season, out of season. But the beautiful thing about the times we're living in the rapture is Luke 21, verse 28, and it says, when these things begin to happen, what things? Earthquakes and diverse areas, wars, rumors of wars, and wind and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear of what's coming on the earth. And the word used there is waves roaring. It's the same scriptural reference to when Jesus was on the water and he calmed the storm. And if you go to Jeremiah chapter 5, and Job chapter 5, by the way, you will see that who calms the storm? God calms the storm. He treads the waves. It's amazing. So literal. It's incredible stuff. Anyway, please, yes. Someone else talk.
No, you're doing great, brother. We're really enjoying listening to you. Thank you so much.
I really just anything.
But says, Oh, no, sorry, John. That's twice I've cut you off. You carry on.
No, you're
fine. I can
fine.
Hear, but does anyone else want to ask any question or anything?
Yeah,
it's late here, but I don't know. This.
Go ahead, Peter.
Was it Ian?
Ian, oh, yeah. Oh, that I Ian needs to hear this. Yeah, that's yeah, right, Peter.
Cool. Because this is the personal sort of feeling that we're talking about, that he was 50% a believer, but he just needed that extra push, I feel.
Mm.
So yeah,
it would have been good if he was around to hear perhaps John talking.
Some passion.
The two Johns did a great job. Sorry, John, Jesus preacher. Sorry, you've tried to talk about three times. Sorry about that, mate. Go ahead.
You're fine, brother. Yeah, just really, really want, so encouraged by hearing John speak. And I wanted to mention he mentioned the Navy hymn, I think, Eternal Father, Strong to Save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave. Is that the one you're speaking of, John?
That is what I had in mind, but there's actual for Navy men. It's the Lord is my shepherd, but they change it to reflect more of a naval theme. But what you the eternal father, I think it is, strong to save, is the very hymn sung on the Titanic before it sank.
Right.
It's
really
incredible stuff. Oh yes, that's the
you're
hymn
a wealth of knowledge you are.
Well, it's a beautiful thing because, I mean, can you imagine? That's the very hymn that they sang before the iceberg sank the ship, but that was at the mass or whatever they meet in the chapel and they have a multi-service, but that was the hymn that they sang. Yeah, how ironic.
Hey, you wanted to ask about the rapture, John. I think that's what your question was. When?
Yeah. Oh, the timing. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I believe that the rapture is signless for a reason, because Satan has had a man, an antichrist, in every single generation. We know from Martin R. DeHaan, I believe it was DeHaan, he was one of the only few people that said he can't be the Antichrist because Israel doesn't exist in the land. You see, he knew his stuff. And the thing is, the time of the rapture, I believe, could happen at any time. Very important, we were talking about this with Grant the other day, the Thessalonians church was dismayed, as if it says there, I haven't got in front of me, but it says, do not be deceived by the writings of a letter someone wrote to them and tried to dispute what Paul had told them. So he wrote a second letter, which is 2 Thessalonians, to reiterate the fact that the rapture hadn't actually occurred. The reason they thought they'd missed the rapture is because they thought that Nero was the Antichrist. And that's why, if you look at that, through the generations, you have to understand the devil's plans. Chuck Missley outlined this, and this is where I really understood, well, what's the battle that we're in? It's a spiritual battle. Every plan of God has tried to be thwarted by Satan. When he discovered that it was going to be from the line of King David, well, what happened? All but one son to carry on the line of King David died. He had them killed. It's very interesting how Moses was preserved. It's a pattern in the Bible. There's always, God always rescues one. One is rescued. And of course, we have the ultimate thwarting of God's plan and the execution, the crucifixion of Jesus. But to understand the devil's plan is to know that Satan has a man. If he knew the day of the rapture, if it was not signless, then Jesus couldn't come as a thief in the night, because the devil would be waiting. He would know. He had to know all his plans. So he's running scared. People thought Hitler was an antichrist. They thought Napoleon was an antichrist.
I remember my father saying that.
Genghis Khan was even an antichrist. So you look at these these illustrations, and it makes sense that if the rapture doesn't occur in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, which is a measurable physical quantity, by the way, then the Bible's untrue. If the rapture's got to be signless. But I can tell you when the second coming of Christ will be, and I'm not a date setter. I can't tell you the exact date, but I can tell you the series of events that must take place, because prophecy is pattern in Judaism, not prediction. So we see a pattern, and the rapture has to occur sometime before we see the rise of the Antichrist. Why do I believe that to be true? I can't prove it, but I can say pretty much from Scripture, if you look, it makes sense. He who restrains is taken out of the way. If we didn't have some semblance of the body of Christ, a feeble church, then all hell would have broken out by now. And we are seeing the start of these things, but these are birth pains. So personally, I'm not looking for the rapture. I'm not trying to set dates or anything. People say, oh, you're a date setter. You're an apocalyptic man. You believe in the end of the world. And I say, well, what makes you think that? I'll correct you. I'm actually looking forward to a world without end. And then they say, really? It's quite a different way when you anticipate arguments. But no, I think we should be eagerly awaiting the return of the Lord. But in doing that, will he find faith on earth when he comes? We are accountable to him. And as a result, we should be able to say to the Lord, and he knows our works, why would there be a parable of the talents if we weren't accountable for our works? You know, it's a different way of thinking. Christians don't like accountability. They don't like it. And so, yeah, that's my answer about the timing of the rapture. And we know that events like rumors of wars and everything must happen, but they're the birth pangs. They're just small things compared to what's coming. But I'll separate the two by saying this. What's the difference between earth dweller and heaven dweller? I believe that the tribulation, the great tribulation, we're not there yet. We're having prophetic events which would point us in that direction. But I don't believe we're there yet. I believe the rapture has to take place. Then at some stage between the rapture and the revealing of the Antichrist, and the Holy Spirit, we've gone with the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, then how can it be that you have 144,000 Jewish evangelists? Well, are they the JWs? No, I believe they're exactly what they say. They're from the 12 tribes of Israel, and they have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because like Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit came on selectively to people. That's how it was in the Old Testament. And David cried out, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So he had the Holy Spirit, but Joe Blow Public didn't have the Holy Spirit. But as it will be, if the Holy Spirit's on earth during the tribulation, then Scripture's lying, because it says this. It says that Satan is able to defeat the saints. If they had the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't be able to be defeated. So that's very interesting. That's my take on it. I could be wrong, but yeah, and it doesn't really matter. As long as you're eagerly fulfilling the will of God in your life, you have to find out what he's calling you to do. If the church is not helping you, they're demanding your money and not doing what God says to do, then it's time to leave that church out, meet in a quiet fellowship with like-minded believers, and get the job done.
What about an online church? This is like church. What time is it?
Of Sunday course. Morning. I'm having church with you right now. It is Sunday morning.
Right.
At the Lord's Supper shortly.
Yeah.
So, John, may I share with you what I believe?
Yes, please. Yeah.
On the timing. And I've always been post-trib, pre-millennial believer. But I have a struggle with that.
Post-trib. Yeah.
And one of the reasons I believe is partially from one of the scriptures you quoted from 1 Corinthians 15:52, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So I think that means the seventh trumpet. So the seventh vial, the seventh, all the sevens have been met. Seventh seal has been broken. Seventh vial has been poured out. The seventh trump has happened. And now the dead in Christ are raised first. And we who are also with him will be caught up with them in the air. I think that's 1 Thessalonians 4. So in a moment, we'll go up and be with him. And I believe that we'll all be poured out of heaven with him, you know, the flaming hosts. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 to 10. So
yes, Jude says that he returns with 10,000s of the saints.
The saints, right.
So we come back on horses, actually, white horses with him. But I would say to you, the only reason that I would – it really doesn't matter. Listen, the only thing that matters is salvation and preaching the gospel. He didn't get into an argument over the occurrence of – the reason I believe in pre-trib rapture is because – it fits the doctrine of imminence to expect him at any moment. Any other case doesn't. Now, also, this last trumpet thing, got to understand that there are several trumpets in the Bible. Now, was the trumpet from the mountain the voice of God? At the voice of God, you see, his sound of a trumpet. There's a difference when it talks about trumpet as in shofar, versus the voice of God. There's two trumpets, two different trumpets altogether. So if you can take it categorically as an order, but also if we think of the marriage supper of the Lamb as in the Jewish wedding, it follows a pattern. Jewish wedding, correct me if you already know this, but it follows a pattern. The dowry is paid. The price is paid, the bride is chosen, the groom goes to prepare a room in the father's house for the bride, and the tradition is that he comes back suddenly, unexpectedly at any time, usually in the night, and this would explain why the virgins had to have their lamps burning and had oil in their lamps. Give me oil in my lamps. Keep it burning. Yes, exactly. And exactly. If the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place in heaven when we are raptured, that's where I believe the marriage supper of the Lamb. If it's post-trib, then the marriage supper of the Lamb is a real picnic lunch because we're straight up to heaven. Have our lunch and straight back with the Lord. That's just my thinking. I like to think that that we'll be. The reason is because the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of God, is poured out on the earth to the earth dwellers. Now, people say, well, don't we have tribulation now? Well, we do, and that's half the problem. Tribulation now, I say, is persecution. Why should we think that we will escape? Right. It says, pray that you be worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. Mm-hmm. So we as believers need to take that literally, that God will hide me in his pavilion, that we will escape his wrath that's coming on the earth dwellers. You and I, anyone who follows the Lord Jesus with their heart, soul, and strength and mind, are heaven dwellers. We're sojourning. We're pilgrims. We have to think that way in order to not be of the world. I don't feel comfortable in this world. And I know Grant, I know you, John, I can tell from anyone listening who knows the Lord is not comfortable with what's going on. Why? Because they hate unrighteousness, they hate evil, and they want justice. I want Jacinda Ardern two things. One, her salvation, because she's a Jezebel. Now, we go to Revelation 2:23, and it says, I have a problem with you. That's the church. Right. You tolerate Jezebel. And Jesus speaks pretty harshly. He says, I will kill her children with death. And does Jesus say that? It says words. I will kill her children by death so that the churches might know that I am, capital I, capital A, M, I am, the great I am, I am he who judges the thoughts and intents of the heart and will give to each one of you according to thy deeds. And that is 2:23. And he's saying, so that the church might know that it's he who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's he that does this. And the Bible says in Revelation 2 that God gave that woman Jezebel the chance to repent, the opportunity. She repented not. Now, what happened to Jezebel? Well, the Bible's very graphic, very graphic. Jehu said, who is on my side? And her attendees cast her down. She was splattered at the bottom of Jezreel, the city of Jezreel there in the Jezreel Valley, and the dogs ate her. And I believe her hands and feet were all that was left. Now that is the threat that God holds. And he says, I am just. Why wouldn't the potter offer us repentance? So I pray for our leaders who persecute us. And she's out to get the Christian. She's targeting the Christian because she knows that they resist.
Yeah.
So this is it. We have to understand that persecution is a good thing. It's not the wrath of God. It's the wrath of the world on God's followers, because we're not of this world. They hate us for that reason. But we are not going to suffer God's wrath. But I have such pity, such love and sincere yearning as any true follower of the Lord should do, that no man perish. And why do we persist? Buddhists don't persist. Muslims do persist, but for very different reasons.
To kill them.
So that's my take on it, that we must not get het up with date setting, but we must understand the times of the signs. Jesus actually said, he chided this is a beautiful thing. He chided the Pharisees, who he held in high regard, because they were supposed to be God's representatives and they failed to represent God as ambassadors. And what happened? He says, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you can discern the weather. So he used a weather analogy, but you can't discern the signs of the times. And he was talking about exactly what we're going through now. We should see this and rejoice, because it means that the rapture, I don't know the timing, but I believe from what's happening, prophecy is pattern. It's happening again and again. We're now like Nazi Germany was. And although we're not being lined up with the wall and shot, we are being put in a predicament, which is might as well be exactly the same system. But we just trust God. He directs our thoughts, he directs our actions, and he will save us. He gives us an opportunity to escape. And anyone who stands up and obeys God will stand out, but boy, will they get respect. I said, we're called to obey the authorities, right? Well, wrong answer. We are to resist if they call us to disobey God. Classic case in point. Okay, people say, but accepting a vaccine is a good witness for God. I said, okay, would it be a good witness to accept the mark of the beast just to be a good witness?
That's a good point. I thought of that today.
That's the first thing. But think of this, those brave young men. If you look in Daniel chapter 3, those three young men, they said, we will obey God whether he delivers us from your hand or not. And we have a perfect eyewitness testimony. King Nebuchadnezzar was so rageful that he told the attendants to heat the furnace 7 times hot. And it says it was so hot that it burnt them up. This is an eyewitness account. And then we know the rest of the story. That faithful witness won King Nebuchadnezzar to the Lord. Why? Because there is no God like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if this is not a modern take, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. This is true. You can search it out on the internet. 12 young Hungarian Jews were marched into the gas chamber. They knew they were going to die. It was on Shavuot, which is is the giving of the law, I believe. And we celebrate that as Pentecost. But the story goes that these young men sang praises to God, even in their dying moments. And the commandant of that camp, Hungarian Jews were marched on, by the way, on the 9th of Av, the Hungarian Jews towards the end of the war. Anyone can do their homework and look up what the significance of the 9th of Av to a Jew is. If you talk to a Jew about the 9th of Av, they'll cringe. And that's a story for another night. However, these 12 young Hungarian men said to the commandant, he said, open the door. And the 12 young Hungarian men were there, and he said, what are you doing? And they told him. One of them, an 18-year-old, he stood up and he said, we know that we die here today, but we will die obeying our God. He said, today you will rejoice and sing praises to my name. And that's exactly what they did. The commandant was so enraged. You know what he did? He says, you'll not die here today. Out. He marched them out. He had them removed from the gas chamber. And where did they go? He said, to forced labor. And guess what happened? Well, you don't have to guess much. The Americans or the British liberated that camp. That commandant was hanged the moment they liberated the camp. Those 12 young Hungarian men survived in forced labor, all moved to Israel. And I don't know, about 100,000 offspring to this day. Mm. So if that's not the word of God alive and active in our day, then I don't know what is. But yeah. Obedience, to obey is such a great witness. People stand up and they say, this guy knows his stuff. This guy can cast down arguments, because that's what we're called to do. And why was I talking about the young men? Their stance wasn't just to disobey Nebuchadnezzar. Their stance was also seen earlier when they were told, you must eat the king's food or you will be killed. And they said, test us in this. If we're not, after I think it was 5 weeks or whatever at the time, better physically than the king's men, then you can do what you will with us. Now, what's that got to do with the vaccine? I think it's this. We're told not to put things into our body knowingly that are going to do damage to us. Is that no difference from what those three men did in defying the king's food? They put God's food into their body. And the witness from that was amazing. They were accelerated to the top of their field. I can only put it in modern terms. But I find that to these modern analogies of obedience, winning people over, is so true. Yes, you'll get hate. I was at a men's group on Friday at a cafe, and one of these younger Christian men was part of the group, and he started chastising me for not having had the vax, and I told him the reasons that I hadn't had it. And then it's like out of the blue, God was my defender, because at least 8 of us of the 10 or 11 that it meet were not vaxxed. And so the one on his side next to me, he said to him, are you vaxxed? He said, no. He said to the other one, are you vaxxed? No. And the next one, are you vaxxed? He says, no. And he says, well, I'm outnumbered then, aren't I? So God is our defender. Now, John, you're in the States, aren't you, John?
Yes, sir. And I wanted to encourage you,
let me
brother,
tell you not, what not, any Americans to, listening in.
Yeah, I just want to encourage you real quick, John. Don't mean to interrupt you.
Yep, I know you've got to go, John, yeah.
With that meeting that you not, if I heard you wrong, please correct me, that you weren't going to attend the meeting anymore, but I hope that you would keep going.
Well, they turned around. They actually turned around and apologized to me. He did. And the other said it wouldn't be the same without you. So I was encouraged by that. But what I wanted to say to this young Christian, because he's a young Christian, I said, I don't want to cause you trouble. I have my reasons. You need to do your homework. And yes, indeed, God's made it possible for me to keep going. But there might come a time. No, I don't back down, but I will be. We have to be soft and gentle as doves. And we have to be able to put it this way, our speech,
especially with the household of faith.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
we're going to be a stench to the unsaved, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what I find. But to those that have been saved, we are perfume. It's beautiful stuff. So with gentle correction, he could see that he's been listening to the government narrative. But I was going to say to any US person talking, I tried to import to New Zealand test kits. The government has had over a year now to use test kits, 15-minute COVID-19 rapid antigen test kits. They're almost as accurate as the saliva test. And the government of New Zealand doesn't want us to have them, yet they're handed out for nothing to students and people in the UK and in the United States. I tried to import them, and I'm glad that God showed me that I would have been severely fined for importing a banned substance or banned good. Because on the COVID-19 website, it says that it's illegal for New Zealanders to import COVID-19 test kits.
Oh, that's wicked. That's wicked.
Wickedness.
Yeah.
And I realized that they had the choice to choose an accurate test versus an inaccurate, totally non-COVID-19 test called the PCR test. It's not calibrated for COVID-19. So the numbers that we're being told are totally wrong. And as a result, why shouldn't we be able to go home and recover from flu? If we get COVID-19, we should be able to know about it within 15 minutes and isolate ourselves. I believe it's controversial, but if this test kit is available, it should be readily available. And
not just that, brother, but ivermectin, which is a proven curative substance that's a Nobel Peace Prize winning medicine, has been anti-malaria pill for 50 years. That's hydroxychloroquine, but ivermectin is anti-parasitical agent that you can take that's very effective against in the early treatment of SARS-CoV-2. And I want to try and bring forth I've got to search it up, there's India's had great success with ivermectin, and they have
whole province.
Andhra Pradesh is whole, free of COVID. Yeah, that's it. Praise the Lord.
You can't get ivermectin in New Zealand if you try. However, in the States, I've been doing my research, you're blessed with 80 million people that haven't accepted a vaccine. And Dr. Zelenko, who treated Donald Trump and treated Boris Johnson and various other people. Z-Stack. It's available in the States, but I can't get it in New Zealand. And believe it or not, would you believe this? The government of New Zealand allowed the United States Post Office, the United States Postal Service will not deliver to New Zealand anymore.
What was that
they
about?
Deliver to New Zealand.
Yeah,
that's interesting, isn't it? It's a cripple. Well, 21 countries have had suspension of delivery services from the United States. Now, that's almost to threaten their economy, I believe, because, of course, I could get Z-Stack into New Zealand, but instead I went online because I know someone who knows Dr. Zelenko. He's the one who put me onto all of this. The thing with it is instead of getting Z-Stack in places like New Zealand, look up online the ingredients of Z-Stack, and you can find the ingredients and source the ingredients. Mm-hmm. Quercetin, zinc, and vitamin C and vitamin D. And if you want the exact type, you don't want to buy something like, iron, for example, iron oxide, you might as well eat rust. It has to be a form of vitamin D that's absorbable. So just go Google Z-Stack if you can't get hold of Z-Stack, and you'll find the ingredients listed, and you can purchase the ingredients and start taking it if indeed you feel you need to.
In the States, brother, here in the States, Z-Stack won't come up on Google. You have to use DuckDuckGo. And
of course, Yes.
We've been talking about these things on the show too, using DuckDuckGo, using Gab, get Linux as your operating system for your phones and your desktop. And I also use Proton VPN. So like right now,
I've got a VPN as well. Yeah, I'm just trying to think what it is. Yeah, but it's a vital thing because certain things we can't get in New Zealand, but my IP address is in Washington, D.C.
Isn't that lovely?
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah. So this VPN can hide your activities online so the system can't see you. The mass media calls the dark web, you know, so the secret web.
Oh, is that what it's called, the dark web?
Yeah, that's what they call it. John,
the dangerous thing now, sorry to interrupt you.
You're fine.
The dangerous thing now is that especially people like us, conservative valued people, there's nothing stopping, well, at the moment, the idea is that they start to look at your traffic and you can be fined for the traffic that you actually engaged in. You could actually be we could be forbidden from using the internet.
Wow.
It's quite something.
That's true, because I can't remember the acronym. I think it's UCAN, the International Domain Name Registry people. We used to own that. America used to own that because ARPANET, the whole internet was built on the backbone of the military ARPANET and our internet. And that went worldwide, of course, all the nations developed it. But so we gave authority to these people, international. So the Chinese have control of it, of course, and other communistic ideologians, people that want to suppress. That's why we see good sites being taken down, like Parler was taken down during the middle of the Trump election, those types of things happening. And so, but with the VPN, the Proton email and the Proton VPN or whatever VPN you decide to use, it encrypts all of your signals. Like right now, I'm not being encrypted because it's faster. But yes. Once you encrypt it, then the authorities can't see it. They can't see where you're tagging to and from and where you're pinging to and from. And so that's really an important idea. But we all have to think, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves here. Because like if you use Microsoft or Outlook, right, those programs are sending back information about your emails to the system, whatever, we'll just call it the system. And they're tracking all of that. And so I've still got my left foot in that, and my right foot is trying to go into this other more discreet place, especially when it comes to discussing these types of things, because I want to be able to help Kiwis get these things, right?
Yes,
and so I sent Brother Grant some nice headphones from China.
Right. Thank you,
China.
I really appreciate that.
China. I sent him some nice
headphones. Chinese in my ears.
Did you get your mask, brother?
No.
So you haven't got them yet. Oh.
Is that American got some, post?
I ordered some masks from China, and they arrived 6 weeks after our first lockdown. And because I complained about the post, they sent me a second lot. So when we got the second lockdown, I had 6 masks of the nicest masks I could find. But who's benefiting from all of this mask purchasing?
Oh, we get special masks. Tell John about the masks we get, John.
Yeah, so I don't know if I want to do that on the open connection.
That's right.
but they are special masks.
Yeah.
I'd be listening.
Do you remember where is the, you've heard of bugging, when someone bugs a line? They tap in it. They tap a line, like Donald Trump's Trump Tower was tapped by Obama. So the thing with this is, where's that in the Bible? Well, none other than the king of Assyria. And he said, how is it that the Israelis, the children of Israel, know everything that I'm planning? And I'm just putting it into English as I remember it. And he says, the prophet of God is telling the king of Israel, everything that you dream on your pillow. So who's the ultimate bug? Well, the Lord God can cover. In fact, I pray now, Lord, that no one's listening to our conversation. Amen. This is for people that need to hear it.
Yeah.
And we trust you, Lord, that we're no weapon formed against us will prosper.
Prosper, that's right.
And our righteousness is of you, Father. We won't stand for this.
Amen.
And thank you for sharing that. And maybe you could, Grant, will share my email with you and can find out.
I definitely want to touch base with you more.
There is a, there's a link under doctors, frontline doctors in the States, and they provide a link where you can purchase any COVID-19 treatment. I don't know if it's – I haven't tried it, but I've got many U.S. friends, of course. They can't send it to me if even I've wanted to because of this the postal service can't get it, and I'd be importing illegal things, wouldn't I? So
there's going to have to be international carriers besides the post office that can get through to NZ, and I will be searching that out in order to
make that
connection.
I would love to get at least what I'm trying to get into New Zealand and is these test kits after a year of lobbying. Why do I want to have test kits? Because for those that choose to be unvaxxed, we're going to be accused, and the accusation now coming is that the unvaxxed are actually carrying COVID-19.
Yeah, what a lie.
So with these 15-minute test kits, I can say to them, oh, listen, what you're saying, let's see if it's true. I'll pull out of my pocket a 15-minute test kit. Have you got 15 minutes? And I'll say, there we are. Definitively, I'm not carrying COVID-19. But I'd ask you to stand back, please, because you might be.
Yeah, because you're fully vaccinated. You're fully jabbed up.
Yeah, so that's part of the demonization. That's definitely part of the demonization. If I might just say this last word, and I do have to get going. I have to do an early vote for my representative this morning. I just found out because I'm going to be out of town next week when we have an emergency election happening for a representative in the state legislature. And I'm going to meet him. It's Kentucky. So for our district, Bam Carney had died about 10 months ago. The seat's been open. And this really seemingly good guy who's anti-mandate type guy, he's, anti-abortion, pro-life type guy. I'm going to meet with him this morning at a rally he's having at his home. So I want to shake hands with him and pick his brain a little bit. So anyway, I hate to leave. I've so enjoyed to hear you speak, John. And
that's fine, John. John, what's his name? What's his name? Carney, did you say?
No, Bam Carney is the fellow that died.
Okay, Sergeant, and your new representative?
Yeah, Pollock. Sarge Pollock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is his name, the guy that's running in this emergency election. So, pray for him.
Well, Lord, I just bring him before you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for Mr. Pollock. I pray that your wisdom, that people looking at him will see you, Father, and you teach with authority. People listen. I pray that he flies up the ranks, that he wins categorically, and that people wake up and see what's happening is wrong. It's wrong, Lord. We need you to do this, Father, because we need more time. We need more time to be able to preach the gospel. We want you to come, Lord, but we want also to reach the lost before you come, Lord. So we pray exactly that he will fly in, and also that John will be able to encourage him and as a fellow believer, and even tell him that people in New Zealand are praying for that man. Mm. So I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother, so much. Grant, God bless you, brother.
You're very welcome. I might
love you guys. Appreciate you so much.
I thought I'd, before you go, as you're going, John, I thought I'd play this nice hymn by Muwanguzi. His name is. He's got a lovely voice. So should we bid good night?
Yes
indeed.
Okay. Mm. We'll catch you again next time. So just I'll just go out on this one. It's about 2 or 3 minutes. Okay. All the best.
God bless all the listeners.
God bless you. My love, keep me burning. Give me oil in my heart, I pray. Give me oil in my heart, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the end of days. I will take it again. Give me oil in my heart, keep me burning. Give me oil in my heart, I pray. Give me oil in my heart, keep me burning.
I might listen to it before I play it next time.
Keep me burning till the end of day. Come on, Pat.
It's a very Caribbean song.
Mwangi Zuzi.
No, but it's
but the African drums.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Okay. I hate drums. I used to be a drummer, but when I became a Christian, I didn't like drums anymore.
That's all right. And now, okay, who's listening, everybody, to our conversation?
Yeah.
Come on, take it one more time. Come on.
All right. Take it easy. We'll catch you next time, everybody.
God bless everyone.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.